There it is.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And this is, I would say, it's fair to say, a slightly different episode of Comic Book Club because of everything that's going on in the world now.
It's a crazy time for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so we talked about this a little bit. I wanted to talk about this up front. We usually have a guest on the show. We're not going to have a guest on the show today. We were going to have a guest named Neil Klein. He's going to delay until later in the month. We felt like with everything going on, with everything that's happening online and off in the real world, that it wouldn't be fair to pull a guest on the show and have them be like, hey, plug your stuff. That's cool. Yeah. Just have a fun time plugging your stuff. But at the same time, we discussed it and we felt like this is a place, hopefully, for people to decompress for a little bit, right? To just, like, talk about comics, chill out for a second, and then get right back into it because, of course, the world is not going anywhere. We're going to go right back into it after the show. But as is, for right now, we could just chat comics for a little bit. Does that sound good, guys?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I mean, comics, for me growing up and for a lot of us, I think are what we did to get away from problems, issues that stress us out, that are dominating our thoughts. And so it felt like doing the show is an extension of that. Our thoughts are with everything that's happening, all the protests, and on top of coronavirus and everything else in our lives. So for our own sort of self-soothing as well as everyone else's, we thought let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Pete, anything you want to add there?
Yeah, I mean it's a shit show. The world's on fire, but you know,
I like it's just we're telling our each different version of the same thing, and it's very different. It's very different words.
Yeah, I mean, if we can bring a little fucking light into a fucking dark time, we're gonna try. It's hard, you know, we're three white guys, but we're going to try to do what we can, and hopefully it'll be fun, and, you know, hopefully it'll – yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Pete, I mean – oh, I was just going to say – go ahead, Justin.
No, I was going to say, Pete, thank you for giving yourself a haircut as a topic for us to have here on the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was me and Liwana tried to – the back looks awful, but it's – you know, I tried to use beard clippers on my hair and
– they're not built for that.
No, no.
The hair is the beard of the head.
Yeah, that's true. I thought if I could, like, cut it down a little bit, then I could get it with the beard. No, no. It kind of gets stuck in your hair, and it rips out. And
God, what a nightmare. Yeah. It feels like you have a tiny Conan haircut.
Wait, I kind of want you to turn around to see if, like, she put her initials in the back there.
Yeah, what's the message in the back? Yeah.
No, it's this part, though. She kept being like, she kept trying to go higher to correct it, you know, to even it out. And then, you know.
Yeah. So the only message there is no parties because you don't got a bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No parties. No parties in the back. Also, no parties in the front.
No parties.
No parties at all.
No parties at all. I will mention we'll still take questions from you all, obviously, listening to the podcast. We love to take questions from you, but it's going to be tough because you're not listening live. But if you're over on YouTube, we're monitoring the comments over there. If you're over here on Crowdcast, just drop it and ask a question, and we'll get to those later in the show. Stack-wise, again, we're going to keep this a little loose tonight. We're going to keep it a little fresh.
Alex's kids are going to cut his hair live on the show. I don't know if cleared that with you, Alex, but we got we talked to both of your children, and they're waiting just outside your room with beard clippers.
Woohoo! Oh, you can't see my door on the camera. That just bumped against me. That was all.
It is funny how you're close to your door in your sock drawer, as established in Comic Book Club continuity a couple weeks ago.
I mean, pretty soon everybody's just going to be able to draw what my room is like, but not yet.
I mean, that's the fun of New York apartment living. You know, you can reach a door, you can reach the kitchen, bathroom. It's all within reach. You know?
Yeah, I can reach my
kids are actually right over here.
I can reach my murder shears.
And stop showing that.
My stormtrooper candle that I made.
Oh, I'm glad you said candle because it looks like you murdered a stormtrooper.
Isn't that sort of, that's what side we're on, Pete?
Oh, I don't know.
It's like at the end of Jedi, like everybody, like they were playing music on their hats.
Yeah, that was very upsetting to me. I was like, wow, the bad guys won.
Yeah, you're a stormtrooper apologist.
Yeah, I'm a stormtrooper apologist, exactly. I hate those stupid Ewoks.
I play Yub-Dub. I play Yub-Dub over here all the time.
Oh, man, Yub-Dub is one of my favorites, man. Come on.
It's actually surprisingly easy to play because you just go Yub-Dub. It's amazing they blew all the John Williams budget on the rest of the songs.
That was your wedding dance song, right, Justin?
Yes, it's really haunted my relationship. I dreamed of marrying an Ewok and I married a woman. Oof, boring.
Rude. And then that ghost you had never seen before showed up at your wedding.
That's right. I was like, Hayden Christensen. Wasn't even a ghost. He was just very pale because he is.
Yeah, he's a very pale guy.
I shouldn't have invited him.
Now, we were talking about the stack a little bit I don't know if it was last week. It was over the weekend or something like that. We were like, hey, what should we do for the stack? We've been having guests pick it. Pete was like, no, I don't want to read anything additional. Don't make me read anything else whatsoever. So we said,
Do you want to get into it? You want to get into it?
This is a setup for, I'm saying, we let Pete pick the stack here. We're like, you pick a book. And you did.
Let's let Pete pick the stack. And so he came back. You know, often the stack can be like three books, five.
It's a stack. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if you would go to a diner and order a stack of pancakes, you don't expect one. You'd be like, where's the rest of the pancakes?
Sometimes all you need is one.
It's still not a stack, though. But you did pick one comic book for the stack, which is Incredible Hulk number 140, which is very interesting to me because isn't it like 141 where Wolverine isn't introduced or something like that?
Yes, but this is where Hulk falls in love.
Right. So this is a story by Harlan Ellison, adapted by Roy Thomas, layouts by Herb Trimpe, and art by Sam Granger. Can I make a guess why you picked this book?
Sure. I don't know.
Why are you so worried?
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to say, though, that one of my kind of like favorite, I would say like top five favorite Comic-Con moments was meeting Herb Trimpe in Artist Alley and talking to him about this book and talking to him about drawing the Hulk and how much I loved the Hulk as a kid. And he talked about drawing Hulk and Wolverine, and we really kind of like geeked out together for like 20 minutes. He was such a nice, amazing man. And it was just really great. Just to be able to talk to somebody like that whose work meant so much to you and just kind of run into them and have like a fun kind of off the cuff conversation. And it was just, I was really impressed with him, not only as an artist, but also like some of the stories. He's a real fun storyteller. So like we had a blast in Artist Alley.
So this book, this finds the Hulk going to the Microverse, romancing Jarella, getting married, sort of gaining his... humanity is the wrong word, but he gets Bruce Banner's intelligence, the Hulk's body.
He's the Bruce Banner brain. Yeah, very eloquent.
So he's able to talk. But the reason I think you like this book is because the bad guy is named Cyclops.
Ah, Cyclop.
Right, Cyclop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is that where it started, Pete? It's a different character.
Yeah. Well, that's funny that you bring that up because rereading it, I was like, oh, this is hilarious. Cyclop still a dick, even though a completely different character. Kudos to Marvel for keeping that going throughout all the years. Anyone close to a name Cyclops, they're like, well, he's got to be an asshole. So I'm glad that they have stuck with that over the years. You know, it's nice to see that.
If you were to rank Cyclop versus Cyclops, which is your which character do you like better? And let's keep in mind, Cyclop here is a big, sort of robot-y, yellow, so it looks like a bit of like a bumblebee with a weird face.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's got one giant kind of eye. But I, yeah, I would say because Cyclops ruined Hulk's shot at love, I'm going to have to say that that makes me like Cyclops a little bit better, even though he kind of like stepped on Wolverine a little bit.
This is how we get you back on the right side of X-Men history, Pete. I'm going to slowly introduce worse Cyclops. And then we're just going to boost up my man Cyclops into the stratosphere.
Well, when you say things like my man Cyclops, it knocks it back down again.
I mean, I got to say, actually, Pete, your hatred of Cyclops has propelled me to liking him more. Only because I like, well, growing up, I was like, this guy's like sort of square. He's not super fun. But only over the years has our battle really made me have to take on the role of a Cyclops fan.
Oh, wow.
You're making me into a monster.
Other than that, though, other than the Herb Trimpe thing, though, I don't think you've explicitly said what you actually liked about the book. Like, why did you pick this book in particular, Pete?
Well, this got me back into comics hardcore. I was in college when I found this book. I was kind of going through a tough time, and to cheer myself up, raided my roommate's comic book collection unbeknownst to him, and I stole this comic, and to this day I still have it and I'll never give it back to him.
Oh, okay. And so this is not that you liked it, this is a confession of a crime, is right.
No,
right.
No, the Unseen Vegan Dream burnt down my senior home twice. So I'm going to take his comic book.
Wait, what? Hold on a second.
There's so his many names that don't make sense.
His name is the Unseen Vegan Dream.
Yeah, that was his nickname, the Unseen Vegan Dream.
Nickname, okay. Mm-hmm. Check, answers question number one.
Great.
Question number two, he burned down your apartment twice?
Yeah, our house. We called it the crack house, but it was where we lived senior year.
I got to admit, with the name crack house, there's probably a different reason it got burned down twice.
Don't let the name fool you. It was just a fun name.
Let me ask you, though. It burned down, and then was it rebuilt, or did you move into another house, or how?
No. So the first time it caught fire, the Vegan Dream put in like toast in the oven and then left for work. Mm. And so then the fire department showed up at our house. Uh-huh. I was not there. Both times I was not there, I was very happy. So it was just the kitchen that was kind of burnt to a crisp. So the landlord rebuilt the kitchen, and we convinced him to still let us live there because it was an accident.
It was an accident.
But then after the second time I was leaving to go to Nationals for the volleyball team that I was on in college.
Oh, my God. What is this? What is this story?
I literally said to him, I said, okay, I'm going to be gone for a week. Whatever you do, don't burn the house down. And I remember I was walking up the street and I saw my mattress on the side of the road and it was burnt. And I was like, this motherfucker.
How did it start the second time? And don't worry, I'm going to circle back with volleyball questions.
Okay, great. So he liked passing out in the tub with all the water.
Sure.
I've never seen that before. So I would sometimes come in late at night drunk and I would find him passed out in the tub and he would just be like, add more hot water and then pass back out.
Very odd to wake up and be like, I'm good here. Just warm up the old bathing juice here. Real quick.
Yeah. Wait, would you do it? So you were basically his bath boy?
Oh, stop that. Stop that.
You did warm up his water for him? Pete?
No. Usually I'd punch him and then like walk away.
You'd
or something.
Punch him? That's also bad.
That's a dangerous thing to do to somebody who's asleep in a bathtub.
Nah, I was in the face. It's not a big deal.
Okay. All
right. He had passed out in the bathtub and there was a candle on a tapestry and Chirod Nation was sleeping. He was on the hockey team. He slept above that. My room was directly above his, and then his was next to mine. But he woke up to a room full of smoke and got out just in time. The dream was already outside. Didn't wake up Chi-Rod, which they still fight about.
As you would. That's
But yeah, that's how he passed out with a candle going on a tapestry like a complete douchebag.
A couple more questions. I know this is an explanation of why you chose this comic, but what is you said Chi-Rod?
Yeah, Chi-Rod Nation. Yep.
What is that?
It's a short for Chi-Chi's Rodriguez. Because and you know Chi-Chi's Rodriguez, famous golfer, would do like this thing when he would sink a putt. Chi-Rod Nation would do that with his hockey stick after he scored. The thing about Chi-Rod, though, is he was always getting thrown out for fighting, which is why we were friends. We would get drunk and fight each other a lot. Mm. And it was good practice. And
did you, real quick, did you go to college in a sitcom? Or in,
Mainly, I love that this story is like David Foster Wallace explains his favorite comic, because there's this much story and then this much annotation of everything that's going on.
So let's get back to the meat of this comic, which is that Pete played volleyball. Where were you, a bumper?
Yeah, I was a backcourt specialist. Basically, I would serve and then play all three spots in the back rotation, and then I would get subbed out, and a tall person would come in for me and play the front three spots, and then I would rotate in for them because tall people aren't coordinated enough to serve or be able to dig a spike.
Wow,
so
you hate tall people once again.
Oh, with a passion. With a passion.
How often did they play Danger Zone when you were playing volleyball?
When you were playing with the boys.
No, yeah, with the boys, with your shirts off and taking the highway to the danger zone.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever get back out there on the old court or beach?
Yeah, I used to play big city volleyball when I first moved to the city way back in the day. It was a lot of fun. The problem was I'm very, my aggression or my anger gets the best of me. Mm. And
like all volleyball players.
Yeah. So it can flare up and become a problem. So I had to drop out of certain leagues. The worst was we were playing in an intramural team in college in between the seasons. And I was so pissed we lost to this team of assholes that I went outside and I tipped over dumpsters until I felt better. And
how many dumpsters was that?
Wait, it takes eight dumpsters to feel better. It takes eight dumpsters to feel better. What?
Full-size dumpsters?
Yeah.
By yourself?
Yeah.
It's amazing that on this show where we were like, well, we're not going to have a guest, we ended up getting College Pete as our guest, and this will be an epic guest.
This is amazing. Any other details we're missing here, Pete? Because it's been a lot. I actually don't think you've talked about what you like about this comic yet.
One of my claims to fame in volleyball was I took out all the sports bottles to drink the water, and I used empty 40 bottles. So whenever we would roll up to tournaments, we would have most people have a carrying case full of water bottles. We had empty 40 bottles filled with water. So that
gross.
Was, it was fun. It was fun.
Great. I look forward to meeting you on a volleyball court, of some sort.
Are you challenging me?
Yes.
Bro,
I want to challenge you.
You can't. We should, once we're allowed to see each other in person, we should all start a volleyball team.
Yeah. Once we get out of quarantine, the first thing we should do is go to a volleyball court and play one-on-one Spike City.
Sure. Spike City? Absolutely. Yeah. Wait, so Pete, what do you like about Incredible Hulk 140?
Okay, so as I was saying,
just to loop back to that.
Yeah, I was kind of in a tough spot. I wasn't sure. I had just been through kind of a big breakup and was feeling kind of depressed. And here's Hulk, who constantly is thrown into these unbelievable circumstances and things that happen to him. And the part where he is in the middle of Avengers storming a castle, Hulk is shrunk down and kind of popped in a new world, and these giant beast like pig dogs start to attack him, and he doesn't blink an eye. He says, "Well, I'm still the Hulk," and he rips off one of their horns and fucking stabs them with their own horn. And that to me was like the greatest pep talk I could ever receive. And I was just like, you know what? You're fucking right, Hulk. I am going to pick myself up and fucking not give up and keep plugging away at this shit. And so that's why it's my favorite comic.
That's crazy. I'm glad you took that away from the book. I thought the thing that you were maybe going to take away from the book was that it's this epic romance with Jarella in the microverse. Well, that's where he falls in love. He's finally happy. Oh, that's the second thing.
Yeah, that's the second thing because, you know, I was
Is the pig dog getting stabbed.
Yeah.
But gives like, you as confidence. A minor,
once
like,
you stab a pig dog, you're feeling pretty confident mm-hmm. about yourself.
And which one of your friends was named Pig Dog, real quick? Sorry. I'm sure Pig Dog, Pig Dog Island or whatever the nickname was.
I have plenty of friends with crazy nicknames.
Prolific nicknames. What are our nicknames? I guess Zalbs and Sizz.
Yeah, JT Sizz and the Zalbs. But
I guess you used to be a little more creative with your names.
Yeah, I used to. It would be part of, because when I was growing up having a learning disability, it was hard for me to remember things. So I'd always have to come up with fun little nicknames.
So you nicknamed everything.
Yeah. So I nicknamed everything. And my best friend, one of my best friends since the second grade, his nickname was Lil Dog. So
there
it's
is.
Close to a pig dog. But
it's
not really
Lil Pig Dog.
What do you think about this book, Justin?
I thought it was great. I mean, this is, it reminded me of a comic that you talk about, Alex, a Hulk book where he goes into sort of, not the microverse, but sort of a different dimension.
The Crossroads?
Crossroads,
that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's perfect, like, escapist comic where Hulk, the microverse is always something in the Marvel Universe I'm like, how does this work exactly? It gets so small that there's like, there's a bunch of weird stuff there. Which I think is very cool. This reminded me of sort of a similar, slightly similar story without volleyball in it and no fires. When I was in high school, I was working at a Burger King, also having a tough time.
Oh, wait, Burger King?
Oh, yeah. I crushed the Burger King drive-thru for a year and a half in high school.
Oh, that's right, because you would work the mic, and that was your kind of like first time. Yeah.
Exactly. That was the original podcast was the Burger King drive-thru. just me slinging Otis Spunkenmeyer cookies.
Oh, dude.
And
Otis,
obviously
man.
Flame-broiled burgers.
Wow.
Exactly. John George, that's the JT Sizzle. That's where the sizzle came from.
That's where the sizzle comes from right there.
it's just a very tiny Burger King sizzle. Because I'll tell you what, those burgers cook very quickly on a conveyor belt. I know all the secrets. But anyway, I picked up Starman Annual number one, and it's the Prince Gavin story. And there's just such a great romance in that story. And I read it on my break at work. And was just like...
You ate it?
I ate it. I read it on my break at work, and it just like... I was like, oh, this is... we'll all get through this small little heartbreak and move on. So I took that away from this book as well. The chance for Hulk to find love. The title is great.
Yeah.
Of the story. I also thought it was... The ending I thought was very cool. I thought you would mention that he has this great romance... This great world where he's like a leader, he has his intelligence and strength, and it all ends up in his pants.
Yeah.
Yep.
The little piece of dust that he had microverse into is on his pants.
Yeah.
So he sort of carries it with him.
Yeah, so far. Yeah, he kind of carries it with him. But it's like, yeah, I mean, the fact that like he could find love like that in such a crazy world and it happened... and he didn't.
He found love in a lonely place.
Yeah, and he also didn't fight it. He wasn't like, who are you? I don't, you know, they touched hands and that was it. And he went all in, man. She was like, I'm going to marry you right now. And he was like, yeah, that sounds great.
reading this book, I don't know that I knew about this issue, but I don't think I ever read this issue. I mean, first of all, like you were talking about, the beginning and the end are very Harlan Ellison. I assume those are mostly the parts that they adapted when they're talking about adapting it. The idea of like just ending up in this microverse and fighting large beasts, and then at the end sort of zooming out. So you have the zoom in and then the zoom out, bookending the book. But it also struck me that clearly, and I think in the best way, Greg Pak was clearly pulling on this for Planet Hulk and essentially taking the storyline and blowing it out to a much bigger proportion versus the one issue that it was. And seeing that, I think he did a really nice job of like picking and choosing what he wanted from the story to make a bigger Hulk story about it. It's also interesting, you brought up the Crossroads stuff, that there's also a lot of the stuff that they're doing right now in Hulk, that the Hulk, who is ostensibly just me angry, me smash, can be used for so many different modes of story is so fascinating.
And I feel like that was sort of, in for me anyway, the first time I was like, oh, there's so much more potential for these characters. Once they just get out of their sort of base premise. Like, I feel like Spider-Man was so often just like doing Spider-Man things. But the Hulk was able to be like, oh no, now you're going into the microverse and doing all these weird things. I was like, oh, it doesn't have to, storytelling doesn't have to just be the one thing. Once you do that and start there, it can be anything. And that was learning that from these books was great.
Yeah, also, it's just fun to kind of like go back, especially to the older comics for the ads, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger, like muscle ad, the like, do you want to be, we can send you drafting tools. So you can get a job as a drafter. You know, it's like, oh my God, it's hysterical.
Are you going to apply? Do you think?
Oh yeah, definitely. No doubt.
Yeah.
Someone picks up the phone and says, we've been waiting for you, Pete.
We got a couple of other suggestions here in the comments that I'll just mention. Jay Sinison says, entire era of Hulk was so good from 120 to the end of the Len Wein run. Hulk 182 is my favorite single issue story. Mike Beneke says, the anatomy lesson from Swamp Thing was closest to his Pete experience. Mm. Joe Crack mentions, so sensational She-Hulk 50 is my favorite Hulk story. Yeah, good stuff. I think like Hulk is one of those things that there's just so many variations of. Again, it's fun to read through. For other stuff in the stack, just to kind of jump forward, we talked about this. We put up a thread on at Comic Book Live on our Twitter account today of some books involving prominent African-American creators. And I thought it might be good to kind of chat through that a little bit.
Cool.
Obviously, we are three white guys. Again, just to emphasize that, we're very well aware, talking through, we don't have a black creator on the show, but we didn't want to have anybody come on and feel like in the middle of everything that go on, they have the extra added pressure of having to do a live show versus us who could like care less, you know?
What? Don't say shit like that.
Yeah, who just like throw this shit off or whatever, you know what I'm talking about?
You, man.
How do we want to talk through this, though? Should I mention some of the titles so we could talk about them each briefly?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've read most of these books ourselves, so
And I mean, like I clarified on Twitter, this is by no means a comprehensive list, but a lot of what today was about, if you haven't been online, you probably didn't know about this, but a lot of it was co-opted and twisted a little bit to be like
confusing day on social media.
Confusing day on social media
for everyone.
And life. But ultimately what ended up being in the most positive sense is, hey, share stuff from African-American creators, amplify other voices. So that's what we're going to try to do here a little bit. And again, if you have stuff you want to add in the comments, either on YouTube or Crowdcast, let us know. We'd be happy to chat about stuff. First one, Nat Turner by Kyle Baker, Pete's old smoking buddy from San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's when I ditched you guys to go smoke weed.
You didn't ditch us very hard. We saw you in the lobby area wearing Kyle's hat.
This book is so good. I mean, obviously, it's based in history. Kyle Baker was, I think, might have my continuity.
He lives
wrong,
up to his name, little, by the way.
Wait, what do you mean?
We got baked together. Me and Kyle Baker got baked.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it.
He didn't think that was funny either, but I thought it was hysterical.
I feel like he was mostly known for Plastic Man at this point, which was also excellent. You should totally check that out. But Nat Turner is absolutely wonderful comic biography. Next one. This is one we've been talking about a bit on the stack. Bitter Root by David F. Walker, Chuck Brown, and Sanford Green. Pete, you want to talk about this one? You love this book.
Yeah, so this is just great because it's you know, bit of root. It's rooted in a lot of history, a lot of great characters. But Sanford Green, kind of like an amazing artist who does really amazing takes on characters. And his Power Man and Iron Fist is one of my favorite runs. And he just does like an, it's a creator-owned project that's like, it's got history lessons. It's got original characters. It's really unbelievably powerful, very creative, fun story, great characters. It's just, it's a blast. And it also deals with a lot of like powerful stuff and tackles a lot of issues. And it's just, it's a great, great book.
Josh in the comments says, I love Bitterroot and the back matter is fantastic. Yeah. And agree completely. Like, it really does feel like this book is sort of the putting just so much information and mixing this history with the fantasy elements of the premise. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next one, this is actually some folks that we've had on the show a couple of times to talk about this book. So go back if you haven't listened to it. We've had them on the live show for podcasts. Black by Kwanzaa Osa Jeffo, Jamal Igel, Robert Riggs, Tim Smith III, and Derwin Robinson. So this is set in a world where only black people have superpowers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's exactly, it goes as hard into it as the title would imply. And I really think this is a book also that like has only gotten better as it's gone along, as they've dived into the premise. It's very smart and very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people behind it are really great. I mean, Jamal Igel has done so many, so much stuff, a lot of DC stuff, which first got my attention, but he's an amazing artist.
Great artist.
Unbelievable person as well. And he brings a lot to whatever he's working on. And, you know, I wish him all the best. And he's also like been so open with us and willing to do interviews, especially when we're running around at cons, and he always makes
time. Came on our show back before everything.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I'll talk to you guys.
Yeah.
So that's great.
And we'll get into another title. I think I put this at the end, but Molly Danger is another title from Jamal Igel. Yeah. That's an all-ages title. If you're looking for a fun all-ages superhero book about a young girl who becomes a superhero, Molly Danger is one to check out. Next one, we've also talked about this on the stack quite a bit, but Excellence from Image Comics by Brandon Thomas, Kari Randolph, and Emilio Lopez. This is basically like... black people have magic, like, and they sort of secretly help out the people in the world or impede them in different ways. But the way that the book is laid out is so smart and fascinating. The world, the idea of the world and the specifics of the world gets slowly laid out across the board.
It's one of those, these books that... It's sometimes hard to find these days where the world and the premise are so well developed and fleshed out across everything. It's such a good world to dip into, really well made, and you get to follow the story goes in places that you wouldn't expect right out of the gate. It's really good.
Yeah, definitely check that out. Also, I'll mention a couple of people here in the comics are mentioning Far Sector, which we're going to be talking about at our Stack podcast tomorrow, the new issue. But that's awesome. A Green Lantern title that actually is a sci-fi story, but delves into emotional bits, feels completely fresh and original. So good. Definitely check that out.
So smart. I hope that it feels like every time we talk about this book, everybody is like, Far Sector is one of my favorite comics that I'm reading right now.
Yeah.
And it is wild just how much love there is for it. I hope it can become a more central Green Lantern story, or we can have this world become more part of the DC universe, because it's just so well
or
done.
Just,
in the issue that,
you know, stop doing Green Lantern and just do Far Sector because it's better.
Well, I think there's room for both. But the issue that came out today is excellent. We'll talk about it more.
Very good. Black Panther by Ta-Nehisi Coates and Brian Stelfreeze. I mean, obviously, he has redefined Black Panther completely in such a big way.
And talk about taking risks, like after the first run of books and then jumped into this like wildly different story set in space. It's just really epic comic storytelling.
Yeah, I was really impressed when he came on board for Black Panther, and like tied in so many things before he began his story arc. Just what a nice kind of smart homage to do before he puts his own stamp on something. He wasn't like, okay, I'm going to do this. This is what I want to do. He really kind of like acknowledged everything that kind of came before him and then began, which was pretty amazing.
I mean, he's a fan first. He's a huge comic book fan and was like, went for this after he was already like wildly famous and wildly successful. So like that's the love is there.
Yeah.
Next one up, March by John Lewis, Andrew Aiden, and Nate Powell. We've had Nate Powell on the show to talk about this, I believe. And this is great. I mean, this is a autobiography of John Lewis in comic book form, and it's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good trouble, as he says.
Yeah.
There you go. Next one up, we'd be remiss not to mention this. And this is actually, I think, the 27th anniversary yesterday, Static Shock by Dwayne McDuffie, yeah. Robert L. Washington III, and John Paul Leon. Pete, I feel like you were probably a Static Shock fan back in the day. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, someone mentioned in the comments there that anything Dwayne McDuffie does, you know, just really great. You know, I'm on board. But, yeah, it's just one of those things where, like, great way to kind of get a new character into the world and kind of have staying power. And it's nice to see that Static Shock is, you know, still around. And, like, it's one of those stories that's like a Spider-Man story where, like, you're really pulling for this young kid. And it's just great to kind of follow him and see how he kind of goes through life and how he kind of tackles things and puts his own stamp on stuff. And it's fucking fantastic.
It's so hard to have a character break through, and the fact that it's getting an animated series and people are sharing clips of that today. Like it's so hard to do that. And man, Dwayne McDuffie was such a just legend for so long.
Next one up, Bingo Love by T. Franklin, Jen St. Ange, Joyce Ann, and Genevieve F.T. This is a great queer romance book. It's very fun. It's very sweet. It's smartly written. And it's one of those things that like, built really well, which I don't think you see much now. You know, there's mostly there's focus on the big two, there's focus on the indie publishers, but you don't see something like Bingo Love that like people just pass along and they say, hey, you got to read this, you got to read this, you got to read this. And again, it's very cute, it's very sweet. If you're looking for something that is more on the side of romance comic, I think it's a good one to check out.
Romance, Pete, your eyes just lit right up.
Oh, you know, there's nothing like a cute romance comic.
Yeah. On the opposite end of romance comic, The Wilds by Vita Ayala and Emily Pearson. This is one we talked about way back, and this book is, in fact, wild, just like with creatures and monsters and everything. Vita Ayala has been, like, on
crushing
fire.
It. Yeah, she – talk about someone who's emerged in the last year. Like, she's everywhere right now.
Yeah. But this is one of their first books, I believe, and it's definitely worth checking out. Also to mention, probably should have mentioned this at the beginning, but all of these books, I believe, are on Comixology or Amazon. Sorry, there's some love fest going on in the comments right now.
Very gross.
I'm a little distracted.
Yeah, hey,
by
Pete, why don't you tell your barber to lay off on the love fest over here?
She already branded the back of your head. Come on, man. This is another one, Farmhand by Rob Gilroy. You probably know him best as the artist of Chew, but he broke out to his own book called Farmhand, and it is about basically they farm organs and limbs for people that are missing them, but obviously it's much more nefarious than that, but it's great. Like, it's very dark, but it's very fun. It's exactly what you'd expect from a spinoff from the artist of Chew,
and
I think.
I think we just talked about this on last week's stack, if I'm correct.
Yeah, very good. The last one, this is actually a mention on Twitter. Enrique de Castello said, Nighthawk by David F. Walker, Ramon Villalobos, and Tamara Bonvillain. Pete,
deep
talk
cut.
About that. You seem excited.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's it's kind of like a old school Image book. And I really, if I'm thinking of the right one, Nighthawk.
Oh, no, you're not. Oh. No, this is Nighthawk. This is the... spinoff of the new, what were they called? Supreme Power, not Squadron Supreme.
Oh, yes.
But it was him, like, they recast it. Nighthawk in the old Squadron Supreme was white. Nighthawk in Supreme Power was black on the street. He was basically the black Batman. And David F. Walker's book leaned into that very hard. So particularly if you're looking for something that deals with police violence right now, I think that's potentially a good one to check out.
Yeah.
So there you go. Those are a couple of recommendations. Again, not a complete list. We realize we are far from the experts on this, but this is stuff we've talked about on the show and certainly really enjoyed. And it's a good place to start. If you like any of that stuff, go buy other things for those creators.
Yeah, especially the creator-owned books. Yeah. Go out and grab those right now.
Yeah, there you go. All right, and I think that's it for the stack. It is It is time to move on to audience questions. Again, on YouTube, drop us some questions in the comments. We'll get to those. I see a bunch of them already piling up over here on Crowdcast, so I'm starting with this stuff. This is from Mike Beneke. What is the latest, greatest Star Wars Doctor Who thing I can get my wife for our anniversary?
Loaded question.
Oh, boy. Gosh, I don't know. Lego set.
A friend of mine made a little TARDIS for his wife, and when you open it up, like, there, you know, he puts like love notes in there on anniversaries and her birthday and stuff. So, like, I don't know if you want to kind of like make something like that. That's like a, you know, sweet gift.
That's sweet.
I don't know if they make them anymore, but one of my favorite things, which is super dorky, but that we have from Think Geek, which doesn't exist anymore, but we got matching towels, and one of them is a silhouette of Leia pointing this way, and it says "I love you," and the other one is Han pointing this way, and it says "I know" on it.
I've seen those towels. Cute.
I've waved my hands on those towels.
Oh, I'm glad you said hands.
Yeah, what?
I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, there you go. A couple of people suggesting a cameo from a Star Wars Doctor Who person. You could definitely do that. I also think go to Etsy and buy something from an independent creator. There's always cute, fun stuff over there. Or, you know, Legos.
Legos, big get. A buddy of mine had got the parts and assembled a lightsaber using the original sort of things that George Lucas had envisioned. Like, it's a lot of random, like, photo equipment, and the art director from A New Hope, like, got all this random stuff and built it, and he was like, this is your lightsaber. He was like, cool. And there are kits you can buy that sort of collect all those things, and you can put it together on your own.
That sounds awesome. Let's move over to YouTube for a question. This is from Nelson Martinez. Have you guys watched season one of Batwoman? How'd you like it? And who would you like to play Batwoman in season two? So this actually gets into a little bit of breaking news that just happened right before the show. There was a casting call that was circulating earlier today that seemed pretty weird because it seemed like they were looking into a new Batwoman. So I reached out about it, and in fact, I can confirm that they're not bringing Kate Kane back at all for season two of Batwoman. It's going to be an entirely new, entirely different character. The name, at least, that they're using on the casting call is Ryan Wilder. Who's described as a female, mid to late 20s, any ethnicity. Ryan Wilder is about to become Batwoman. She's likable, messy, a little goofy and untamed. She's also nothing like Kate Kane, the woman who wore the Batsuit before her. Which is...
Little shots fired at the end there.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of crazy news. What do you think about this, Pete, Justin?
Well, when when I saw it on Slack and when I was talking to you before we started taping about it, I think that, like, right, if you have a character that is no longer going to, instead of doing the old, like, television, hey, this is, it's just like before, but it's completely different. We're not going to dress it same person. That's not a good idea. So I feel like going in a different direction and, giving us a different take on Batwoman could be cool and unique and different. And so I'm hoping that this new person kills it and kind of takes it in a different direction. I know it's against the kind of comic books. And the Batwoman comic was is just, I mean, when that really got momentum and started blowing up, it was unbelievable. And so part of me is like, oh, that sucks, but they're in a new position, so why not lean into it and try a new character, and hopefully they can bring something to the role that would be great.
It feels like they might be going for a Batgirl character here, or even a Stephanie Brown type character, mm-hmm. which I think, like, if you're going to pivot and pivoting this hard, like, I don't, it could be cool. Like, I didn't watch the first season of Batwoman, so I know that, like, I don't want to say anything bad about the what has come before, but they lost their lead. They felt like replacing it sort of harmed the show enough that they were like, well, I don't know if we can come back from this in the same way we want to. So to pivot hard and just start over with a new direction, like, that's at least exciting. It's at least a choice that most shows wouldn't have made. And a risk like that, if they can pull it off, that's huge.
I enjoyed season one. Because of this move, I'm definitely going to tune in to season two to see how it starts and see how they do and what they do. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I also liked Season Lighten quite a bit. I think they did a really good job of just driving home the metaphor of Kate being gay the entire time through the lens of superheroics. I liked Ruby Rose. I think she probably did a better job with Kate Kane than she did with Batwoman. She clearly seemed uncomfortable with the stunts for reported obvious reasons of, like, she got hurt very badly several times. The thing that is weird to me about it that a lot of fans have pointed out already is even beyond the comic nature of Kate Kane as Batwoman, because as we know, legacy is the part of the Bat characters, legacy is the part of comic books. So it's not unprecedented for somebody else to take on the mantle, is that the storyline is so tied to Kate Kane as a character. It's weird to extricate her from that you have the main relationship of the show is Kate Kane and Alice, right? Who's the Joker character, who is her sister. That is the backbone of the show. So you remove that, you'll remove a lot of the show. Plus you have Mary, who is her stepsister. Same sort of thing. There's the relationship there. Also her trying to live up to the legacy of her cousin, Bruce Wayne. Same sort of thing. Those are all big parts of the show that they just don't have anymore. But to the point you were making, Justin, I think they probably made a call of, like, we bring in an actress as Kate Kane, everybody is going to say, how does this person compare to Ruby Rose? Right. You create a new character, it's a whole new show, it's a whole new ball game. And I enjoyed the first season enough that I'm trusting them to figure out a way to do it. If they don't, that's fine. I'm a little dubious of the whole thing, but we'll see how it pans out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is weird. It's wild to do that. Like, that, what show has ever done that before? Where they're like, oh, we're going to make a massive change, but still call it the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like other, like, procedural shows will do that all the time, but a superhero show with the title character, I don't know that I've ever heard about that before. So we'll see what happens. Maybe it'll crash and burn. Maybe that'll be fun to watch too. All right, let's move on to another question here on Crowdcast. Casual Hand Up Guy says, what is your favorite lame supervillain? I've read a lot of 70s Spidey, and I really like Big Wheel and the Hypno Hustler. Also, you can't choose Kite Man.
Oh,
that's true.
Good call.
He's not lame anymore. He's cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, he really did pull that off. I mean, Kite Man has really ascended, especially with the Harley Quinn animated series, like, killing it. Just absolutely killing it. So it's you can't say, you can still, you know, as Kevin pointed out, Lady Stiltman. Stiltman was one of my favorite lame ones, just because, you know, he's tall, which makes me be like, oh, you're definitely a villain. But
too tall. He's getting taller. That's got to be your real archenemy. Got to give it up for Condiment King that Joe Crack suggests. Very good. Off the top of my head, though, Porcupine, who was, I believe, a Spider-Man villain, and then he came back in Spider-Woman recently as her sort of romantic interest, sort of sidekick and then romantic interest. And that was such a great story. Got to give it up for him.
Mm-hmm. Lame villain. This is another Spider-Man villain, but White Rabbit, I have never gotten in any way. Like, I don't know what her deal is. She's kind of Alice in Wonderland, but they always feel like they pull back from it because that's Mad Hatter's whole deal. So
I feel like she bails on her thing. Every book she's in, she's like, I don't know, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm sure somebody could write a great story with her, but Joe Crack is saying, I just got her figure. Yeah, she's just a lady that does crimes. Exactly.
That's accurate.
Yes.
But much like the Royal Flush Gang, I feel like that's a character that is often put in just so the hero can beat them and move on to the rest of the story. Like, the Royal Flush Gang is the ultimate version of, like, let's beat these people up so we can get to an emotional story that is totally different.
I feel like Wrecking Crew most of the time is exactly like that too. And that's such a bummer to me because I actually like the Wrecking Crew and there's been good Wrecking Crew stories, but they're always like, they're just fighting people at the beginning of the story. I want to see Wrecking Crew versus Royal Flush Gang. Ooh. That's your amalgam number two.
Wow. Yeah. Let's bring together the Marvel and DC universe to tell that story.
Yeah. Got a couple of questions here over on YouTube. I'll go through. What are you guys drinking tonight? How about the next time the partners make mystery drinks? Ooh. Not quite sure what that means.
We have our significant others make our cocktails for the evening.
Oh, our partners, not like us, our real life partners.
Oh, he thought we were partners.
Well, we are real life partners. Yeah. We are our real life partners.
Exactly. What are you guys drinking tonight?
I'm not drinking tonight. I'm just going with a little Wegmans seltzer water.
That haircut is intoxicating enough, I think we can say. I had a Boulevardier, but I've already finished it.
Ooh. Nice. I'm having a Merman NY IPA.
Nice. Look at you.
Very good.
While we're talking about you there, can we talk about your velour tracksuit that you got rocking?
Oh, sure.
Your Adidas.
Yeah, this was actually... This was a gift from my wife. She, months ago, apparently, ordered me a Marvel 80th Anniversary Loot Crate.
Aww.
And there's a bunch of fun stuff in there. There's a Wolverine jelly glass that has, like, an X at the bottom.
What do you
there's
mean,
a couple
jelly
of pins
glass?
And other
what
things.
Does that mean?
That's like a collectible thing.
Yeah, I could go get it, but I feel like that
there,
would
be didn't come
you
with
keep
any jelly
in glasses? Like, what are you talking
about? No.
No. This is a collectible thing, glass? Pete. Back in the day, they used to, because we had these growing up, they were like Tom and Jerry jelly glasses, and they would serve, or not serve, but they would sell jelly jam in these glasses that had characters on them.
So,
and people collected.
You probably
like
know them well
drinking,
because they used to.
Like a drinking glass that's like, you know, the old, like, you know, Star Wars, like on the side of a glass.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they used to give away at Burger King.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
Justin?
Burger King, Pizza Hut, the whole.
Exactly. I love you, Pete. It's like a regular glass. I feel like you're really.
I just don't.
Upset
I just
this.
Picture Zelvin drinking jelly out of a glass, and it freaked me out.
Yeah. But I do have, it's this tracksuit jacket, which is super comfortable, and I've never had one of these, and I would never get one for myself. But it's got like.
Nice.
Marvel 80.
Oh, that's very cool.
A little flexing
there.
Yeah, it's
fun.
A little flexing.
Yeah, and so now you're a DJ?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, you guys want to hear my sick beats?
Yeah.
Yes, please. Your mixtape. So you're probably more of a SoundCloud DJ though, right?
Yeah, check out my tracks. I'm going to do a couple
on,
of
dude.
Viral tweets.
You got to do it old school, man. Wheels of Steel. Come on, bro.
Yeah, get out on the street. Rock that Park Slope lifestyle
suit,
right
baby.
Now.
Do you got the matching pants or is it just the jacket?
No, he can't answer.
No, he can't. He won't answer.
He won't answer. He's afraid of the answer.
Yeah, I think he does have the matching pants and he's just not wearing pants right now. That's what it is.
He panicked. He panicked and pulled the plug on the whole thing. He's like, I can't face myself.
Yeah.
He's like one of the villains in the Hawkeye run from Matt Fraction.
Oh, yeah. What's up, bro?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's very close. Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He lives there. He's wearing a tracksuit. Alex is slowly becoming the villain from the Hawkeye run.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to have a gold necklace next. It's going to be sweet, man.
Yes. Whenever he comes back... Let me see if I can get into some questions here. What DC Legacy character that was replaced is from Joe Crack. There was replaced by a previous generation version of the character. Do you miss? Ray Palmer replacing Ryan Choi, Barry replacing Wally, Ronnie replacing Jason Roush. So it's like when they they create a new character and then go back to the Ridge.
Oh. Well, the only thing I'm thinking of is just the kind of Robins for me. Like, there was different, like, because I know you were a Nightwing fan. I was not ever a Nightwing fan, but the new, like, evil Robin, as I like to call him, was kind of like my favorite, kind of like to have a Robin that, like,
yeah,
has nefarious reasons for being there. So it's not like he's just learning the ropes, like Batman's trying to write a ship that could go horribly wrong, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I had another answer in my head. I mean, Blue Beetle comes to mind. We were huge fans of the new Blue Beetle back in the day. And then I feel like he's sort of been lost. What's more amazing is when someone, a character really emerges and can stand on their own, like Miles Morales. Like, I feel like it's so rare when they really have the legacy character break out of the legacy, and that's where you have, like, the real win.
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, like, Amadeus Cho is, like, a great example of, like, somebody who was kind of, I don't know, created just to kind of pair up with Hercules and then became, like, such an amazing character that then, like, teamed up with Hulk and like has done so many stuff and is still kind of around. But yeah, I think like, yeah, X-23
Wolverine is a good call. That's because I feel like X-23, like her book is one of my favorites, and I feel like she sort of lost her spot right now.
Yeah, and that sucks because when Wolverine came back, that X-23 comic was killing it. And I was kind of like, I'm a huge fan of Wolverine, but I was sad to see like that not have its own comic anymore. You know, like it was just so powerful and so fantastic and a kind of fresh take on it.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey, Alex, we really panicked when you were gone. So sorry. I just peed my pants a little bit, but we continue to answer questions. It's going really well.
No, that's great. I've been sitting here listening and watching most of it. Just my computer froze for a while. So there you go. Wow. So sorry about that, guys.
Nice.
Should we keep going?
Yeah, but did you want to answer the question, though?
Wait, what was the question?
You have a legacy character that was created, and then the previous character sort of came back and replaced them. Sort of how, like, Ray Palmer, Ryan Choi came out, and then Ray Palmer eventually came back.
Oh, one that we liked or we didn't like?
Or like just a Wally where you West missed, type of...
Where you missed the character that was created. We talked about New Blue Beetle, Jaime Rodriguez. We talked about X-23. It feels like she's losing her spot a little bit.
Yeah.
He talked about the Robins.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are all the good examples. Ryan Choi is a good example as well. I know this doesn't really count, but like Dick Grayson as Batman was so good. And it was kind of a bummer to see him go back to Nightwing.
Yeah.
Same as Bucky for Captain America, which I really enjoyed a lot. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go.
Alex, did you punch a hole in your wall while you were gone? Like, were you angry?
Do I have a hole there? What?
No, we were just wondering. Like,
I'm very lost right now.
Yeah.
You don't know if you have a hole in your wall?
I don't know.
You are lost.
Well, all I know is I showed off my jacket and it was so powerful it kicked me off of the live
stream. Well, we thought it was because we asked you to see if you had the matching pants. And then maybe you stood
you
up,
like,
and like that's when it froze because, you know.
And I think we can, but Pete and I can both do a good impression of your frozen face. Yeah. It was like this.
Oh, no, that's not good.
That's that very good news. I gotta say, right. Pete, that was good. That's we nailed it.
Yeah. Joe Crack says, given the opportunity for the comic book industry to finally get rid of having to use Diamond, why do you think so many ended up supporting Diamond through this all? I don't know. Loyalty, I think. Like, people are not gonna, it's still a massive revenue stream, so they're not gonna naturally just get rid of it.
And even beyond loyalty, I think normalcy. I feel like sort of what we're all chasing really hard right now is a return to as much of the pre-COVID world as we can. And then making changes, like a lot of people are saying, like, let's make a new world that is better.
Yeah, that's where it's at right there.
That's where it's at. And it feels like Diamond is maybe not that, but it may be that chasing the normalcy that people are craving right now.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I think, like, not to go further or sound too anarchic or anything, but this hasn't actually been going along long enough to really break those systems in any big way.
Yeah.
If it goes on for longer, if bigger things happen as they are happening, potentially, but we're not quite there yet.
Whoa, okay.
Well, no, we're not. Like, I mean, we've had, just if you want to just talk about the microcosm of the comic book industry, everybody's like, okay, 2 months, good. Now we're back. Now we're releasing comics again. So things are, with some changes, pretty much back to normal. But if this continues for another 2 months, that's going to be a different ballgame. If it continues for 6 months, that's going to be a different ballgame beyond that. So we'll see what happens.
Sorry, guys. My roommate's cat's actually paying attention to me, and I can't stop. So it's very
exciting.
Man,
this show is crazy. All right, here we go. Wait, is that Luana says, oh, stop. Is she actually down there? Is that what's going on?
Are you petting? You're petting Luana?
No. No, I'm not petting.
Oh, okay. All right, great. Kevin says, what's a title you didn't like or just didn't get into when you were young but now love? Bonus if you now love includes all the old stuff as well as the new.
Mm. Ooh, good question.
A title that you didn't love that now you do love.
I'm trying to think of not loving a comic.
I don't think I've ever not loved a comic.
What about Batman, Superman versus werewolves and vampires?
Oh, now that I'm older, I like that.
Yeah. Let me throw out Thor. I was never a huge Thor fan first coming up. It felt so obtuse. I've definitely gotten back into all of that, all the old stuff, all the new stuff.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, there are some things, like, I think about, like, how I've gotten older and tastes have changed, but, like, didn't like Green Lantern as a kid, still don't really like Green Lantern. You know, like, there are certain things where I'm like, nah, fuck that.
What has changed for you? What's something, anything, that your taste has changed?
Asparagus. Hated it. Now I love it.
Wow. That's what great. A big boy. We got ourselves a grown-up big boy. This guy's really earned. He's earned some ice cream because he finished his asparagus tonight, and that's a big boy we have right here.
A couple of quick things here over on YouTube. Jay Phonomancer says, have you guys watched Legion? And if so, what did you make of it?
Oh, yeah.
The answer to that is, sure did. We got a whole podcast called Inside Legion you could check out, and it's awesome.
Glorious.
You could check out about 40 hours of us talking about it if you want.
It's
truly one of our favorite shows of all the podcasts we've done. It's right up there at the top of, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, like shows that we've done that I've loved.
Just so creative. Every episode just really grabs you and doesn't let go. You don't know what you're going to get when you sit down to watch a Legion episode, and they always deliver. It's really fascinating. And the casting is bananas.
Yeah, like, yeah. P, if you had to pick a person in the cast that you, I don't know, liked, what do you think, who would it be?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I mean, you know, so many great casting choices, you know. Aubrey Plaza, motherfucker.
There's another revelation in the comments. Pete, you don't like mayonnaise.
Yeah, I hate mayo.
Mm.
You're crazy.
What about a nice mayo asparagus?
No.
Mm. See, what about an aioli?
What sucks is Liwana's pointing out aioli. That there are things that I eat that, you know, I didn't realize, like some things that had mayo in it. And
like, you hate mayonnaise, but you love tartar sauce?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I like, love this tartar sauce.
No, I don't like tartar sauce, but like, you know, macaroni and cheese, mac salad type of thing, you know, that's like,
a potato salad?
Yeah, it's Brett Macris pointed out, like, we were doing corn on the cob on the grill, and, you know, there are, you know, mayo in there for stuff. So it's, you know, mm-hmm.
She's also shouting sandwiches with mayo on them. So let me ask you this. What don't you like mayo on? Just like straight out of the jar on a spoon?
And we should also mention for those listening to the podcast, Pete is actually eating mayo right now, straight out of the jar.
That is gross.
Like, with his hands. Never see me.
He's not even using a spoon or anything. He's
smeared. You know, he's got like a milk mustache of mayonnaise. It's disgusting. And he says he hates this stuff.
Now he's just taking eggs and oil and putting them directly in his mouth and making his own mayonnaise. He's just shaking his head.
He's shaking his head like he's making Coca-Cola and Pop Rocks in his mouth.
A couple of other quick things here over on YouTube. Jace the Archer mentions, per the casting discussion for earlier about Batwoman, that Spartacus did that because the previous actor, of course, passed away, unfortunately. This is true. So they did have a big change in the lead. They obviously dealt with it a little differently. He was sick for a while. They did a prequel season. Then he passed away. So they ended up recasting the part. But yeah, very sad. Slightly different situation. But I guess precedented in some ways.
Yeah.
Lou on YouTube asks, what are some good fantasy comics to check out? I'm a dungeon master for a D&D game, and I've been looking for some inspiration. I love Thor and Saga.
That's good stuff. I mean, not to... What was that?
Die. The comic, yes. We love that.
The comic. Yeah. Okay, not just Die.
Die. I mean, not to be a just on repeat, but Birthright.
Oh, boy.
A comic.
Here we go.
Great fantasy comic that feels like right in that world that you could easily pull some stuff from. What else? Other good fantasy.
You held it together when we were interviewing him, by the way. Like, I thought you would just kind of like drool all over him. And just
we interviewed the creator, Joshua Williamson, last week on the show. And I will say, I felt like I talked a lot.
Yeah. I just wanted him to give us a tour of his like room that he was in. Holy shit. Those comics that
he sort of did. He kept being you know, I know it's here. Oh, yeah. All these comics.
But
I loved it.
Yeah. Maybe also like Gru might be fun. I mean, if you're looking for something more comedy fantasy, I love those books back in the day. So that might be
Saga.
Sort of a weird pull, but there was a limited series called Weird World that Jason Aaron did. If you like Thor, the Marvel did a couple of years ago. I think it was part of a crossover. Check that out. That's cool and fun and very like fantastical elements just being mixed together.
The Jason Aaron guy, man. Whew.
So good
stuff. Here we go. This is from Ben, the Border Collie. Pete, did you get into improv because everyone assumed your recounting of lived events was also improv?
Yo, that's a spot on comment. Because I got to say, that story you told about college, I was like, this is a made up improv.
Yeah, I got into improv because my acting teacher was like, you have so much fun in the warm-up exercises and then don't seem to bring that joy to your role. And I was saying that, like, yeah, it's the same all the time and people are rewarded for just regurging stuff and it feels a little not fresh, you know, when you're doing the same thing every night. She really steered me into the improv world, which I was very happy to get that. Same acting teacher as Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, okay. Nice to drop that right there.
Okay, Pete bringing out the classically trained flex. Yeah. I got to say, with all of our talk about our acting training over the years, we should mount a play. The three of us... We should find a good three-person play and really put it up.
Wow.
I'll tell you what. Last week, we talked about doing a dramatic reading of our first recorded podcast, and I went back and listened to it a little bit, and it was not great.
Yeah.
So
that's what I thought.
I'll keep sifting through and see if I could find one that might be fun for us to read at some point.
What do you mean by not great? Like, it's like too fun? Too funny?
No, I think it took us a little bit to kind of get rolling, I think.
I mean, this was just more like it wasn't a great show. That's all. We started putting up the podcast in 2011, so that was a while into the run of our show. Just the audio quality was not good. I think this is when we were in the basement of the pit And things were not great
when
there.
People would just be like walking by all the time when we're trying to do a show, turning on lights, turning off lights.
Yes, that Waiting for Godot. Crazy. Yeah. We should do Waiting for Godot as
That's
John
a fun
George
comic
suggests.
Book show thing. Yeah. Question from Edward Darty. Thoughts on Newsarama being incorporated into Games Radar? I don't know anything about that.
maybe it means, I mean, Newsarama, which is a company we worked for a ton. We did all their Comic-Con interviews at New York Comic-Con for many years and San Diego for a couple of years. If they are back in the black, let's do it. Let's get back out there.
Oh, your takeaway is we're going to go back to Newsarama?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, I'm just saying Newsarama was a news source for us forever, you know, back in the day. And it's nice that they're going to sort of live on, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing new with them being owned by a big company. They were owned by several companies over the time we worked there alone.
Yeah.
So they just kind of get passed around. I think, like, I would love to see – everybody always talks about, like – why don't we have a good comics journalism site? And the problem is nobody, and I can say this with authority, having worked in a comics journalism site, nobody reads comics journalism. Like, as much as you ask for it, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. But, like, I would love to see Newsarama or CBR or something like that get back into finding the right balance for it, because I feel like the stuff has become so off balance that it's not fun to read all the time.
I mean, I still go to Newsarama for stuff. But I mean, if you're not getting the views, it's got to be hard to kind of keep it afloat. And it's sad because it's, you know, comic book news is important and it's, you know, something that we rely on. So it kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there.
Yeah. See what happens. There you go. Go to it, Games Radar. This is a question from Hollywood Homer. Thoughts on the Joe Rogan Spotify $100 million deal and what it means for podcasts and podcasters? I think we could safely say that we're going to get $100 million to go directly to Spotify, and that's the answer to the question.
Yeah, no, that's definitely great. I've already bought multiple jet skis.
Wait, so... I don't know. Famous people are getting more money for doing podcasts.
Joe Rogan. So Joe Rogan has been very big. His podcast is huge, right?
Yeah.
And
it's an experience. It's not just a podcast.
Exactly. The other thing, though, that's been very big about it is that clips from his podcast have been living on YouTube. And that's really where they go viral almost more than anywhere else. Yeah. He's going exclusively to Spotify, and I think not to get like too business focused about it, but it's clearly Spotify making a huge move to cement their place as the go-to place for podcasts, different than iTunes, different than anywhere else. We'll see if it works.
It's like
they've been doing that on a smaller scale for a while, like reaching out to a ton of different podcasts and buying new ones. And I mean, there are only like three big podcast distributors at this point, and Spotify's trying to be the queen of them.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to mean anything for small podcasters or independent podcast networks or anything like that. Sorry, Pete. And Justin, return those jet skis. But, you know...
I was looking for jet skis online as soon as Justin said he bought some.
I love these jet skis.
Yeah.
I named one of them Pete and one of them Alex.
Oh, that's very sweet. Let's see. We got a question here from Pablo D. Martinez.
Pablo.
What's your favorite villain drawn by a comic book artist you don't like?
What?
Ooh.
Favorite villain drawn by a comic book artist you don't like. Well, Rob Liefeld drawing Deadpool. I think.
I was just going to say Rob Liefeld drawing Omega Red. That's a very specific answer. Yeah, that is my answer.
People are wondering what the third jet ski's name is. That's super important.
Wow. It's Alex, Pete, and Silver Sable.
Ah, cool. I should have seen that.
Your
coming.
Three loves.
My three loves.
Yes.
Aw.
Great. Let's see if we have any other questions here. I think we have another one or two on YouTube. Here we go. Actually, we got a bunch of them here. I missed. Bandito 740.
Yeah, it must have been when you were frozen.
Yeah,
you were like this.
Stop it. So what my face naturally looks like. Bandito 740 says, what's the most valuable comic you own? Ooh. I can say what the most valuable comic I own that is actually the least valuable comic is. What? I have a totally, completely, almost destroyed copy of Fantastic Four Annual Number 2 from the original printing. My dad had this box of comic books when he was a kid, which I still have. I read them a million times when I was a kid, but they're at the point now where they're like crumbling apart in the box. He read them. I read them as a kid, so it was already too late. But like, I looked at one point, I was like, oh, I wonder how much this would be worth if it was worth something. And tens of thousands of dollars. It's one of the most expensive comics of all time. Wow. Yeah. But
and you ruined
nothing.
It.
Yeah, I ruined it.
I really don't know. I would have to go back and really dig through. I have some very old, like, Archie comics from back in the, like, 60s or something. But otherwise, I truly have no idea. I don't even know, like, what comics from our time truly buying comics are worth the most. Like, Walking Dead number one. Edward Doherty says that. I think that that's a very valuable comic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a old,
but otherwise I don't know.
Daredevil one that I think is almost worth $100. That's like the most expensive one I have.
But yeah, I mean, everything like post 90s is all, there's too much of it. There are very few things other than Walking Dead one that was just a complete surprise. If you have a pristine, perfect first copy of that, or you have some sort of variant that there's only one or two copies of, maybe that's going to be worth money. But something that like does not have forced demand, artificial demand on it, is going to be very hard to come by. I remember we talked about this, I think, last week on the show, but I forced my brother to buy Spider-Man number one from Todd McFarlane because I was like, this is going to be a lot of money. This is a good investment to spend all the money, my little brother, that you have on. And he bought it for a ridiculous amount of money. And of course, it's worth nothing because they made millions of copies of that.
Yeah, they made too many copies of those comics.
Yes. Nelson Martinez says, when will the next Pete LePage spoken word be? I love the first one. And GC Archer adds, the spoken word was my favorite Pete mode of all time. Hashtag Rivy D.
If you I cannot believe the hype that Pete has got from his poem. That was a casual prank. And it has become a Pete calling card moment.
Hey, I answered the call,
This is on our Riverdale podcast. We told Pete, well, Justin told Pete that we were all going to write an ode to Riverdale. We were going to write a poem to Riverdale. Pete took it seriously, and it's wonderful.
I still swear that it was mentioned earlier, if it was in the comments or something, it said something, and we were like, oh, yeah, we're all going to write poems. And then Justin did that bit, and I was like, oh, right, we talked about that. And
I love that you, I'm sure when I texted that, you were like, oh, fuck, I forgot I have to write this poem. And then you were like, well, I'm going to drink this vodka soda and write a stupid poem. And then you wrote like an opus that is going to be
Vodka Mountain Dew, bro.
Yeah. Oh, Vodka Mountain Dew. My bad. I blocked that out.
Here's a question from Pablo D. Martinez. So what movie would you see once movie theaters open again?
Ooh, of all movies or of all time or a movie that is coming out?
A movie that's coming out, I guess. Like, what's the movie that would bring you back to movie theaters at this point?
Well, I mean, I think Black Widow is going to be one of the first like comic book movies that's going to be out, right? Hopefully.
Yep.
So I would think that would be the one that I would go see first if that's going to... Don't say the Snyder Cut, Brett Macross.
Nah, I'm going to wait for that to be...
New Mutants? I would go see New Mutants. I think that's a good call.
Maybe. I would die for New Mutants, I think.
Oh, yeah. Wonder Woman 84. Definitely going to do that.
There you go. This is from Srushti. How about a podcast called The World's Angriest Pod in the World, where possible topics could include Frank and Castle, Barchi, Cyclops comics. I don't know if you're seeing a pattern emerging. I think that's this podcast.
Yeah, we already do that podcast. It's called This Podcast.
Yeah, we already kind of do that.
And then over here on YouTube, Bandito 740 said, I heard CBC is moving the podcast to Quibi for a case of craft beer and a cheesesteak. Honestly, I don't think they can afford that at this point. Wow. And Jay Pickett 123 says, is there a comic book series we might be surprised to learn you haven't read? I think that's a good question to end on.
Yeah, we've done this question before.
Yes.
I'll just say Swamp Thing. Yeah, I've never read Swamp Thing.
That's my answer as well.
Woof.
Well, Alan Moore, Swamp Thing specifically. I've just never read it.
This answer is perhaps apropos for the near future. I have not read The Boys from the beginning. So that would be a good one that I should read.
Yes. I think we could probably mention, because we are doing a Boys podcast, a Boys Recap podcast preparing for season two that we're going to start rolling out soon. So,
Justin, way to tie that in with the plug.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So that should be coming soon. We're going to set up the feeds and everything. Ooh, we're obviously lots of stuff going on in the world. So we're going to hold off for a bit before we promote a new podcast. But that's going on. All right, folks. I think that's it for your audience questions. Now, normally at this point, we would go to trivia. We would give away a $25 gift card. Instead, this week, we're going to do something different. We're going to take that $25 and we're going to put it towards a bail fund, since that seems to be the more important place for money to be going at this point.
Yes.
I hope nobody's disappointed about not being first stand-up guy, but we wanted to make sure our money was going to the right place this week. And then we'll go back to supporting comic book shops next week. There you go. Before we wrap up here, let's talk about what we're looking forward to tomorrow. We are back with our Stack podcast that is going to be rolling out Wednesday at 9 a.m. as usual. Do you folks have a comic book that you're looking forward to? I'll plug one to give you a minute. I'm looking forward to Nailbiter Returns number one from Image Comics. Again, we talked to Joshua Williamson about it last week, but it does not disappoint. Just a really good, really fun, very dark serial killer book
me,
with a great twist at the end that I think really justifies
Star Trek Year
bringing
five,
the book back
IDW
for another run,
number 11.
Given that it was so satisfying during the first run.
Not
so
the biggest
I'm excited
Star
for everybody
Trek
to check it out.
Guy.
That's a good call,
this
Alex.
Comic,
Pete, do you have one?
That is going to be coming out is fucking fantastic.
Okay.
Interesting. A little previous sack there. Justin, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Far Sector number 6, a comic we already talked about. So that
that guy's crazy.
That book is very good. And really some of the more innovative storytelling going on at DC or in any comic book right now. But also, since we already talked about that one, throw out Birds of Prey number 1, also from DC, written by Brian Azzarello. Like, I love the bird.
Appreciate
that guy's fun. We've hung out with him. Looking forward to seeing that take on the Birds of Prey. He always comes with a very well thought out new take on things.
Yeah. All right. There we go, folks. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the show. We really appreciate it, particularly with everything going on. I hope you all are staying safe out there. A couple of things to plug on our end, patreon.com/comicbookclub if you want to support this show and other shows we do. Also, we do another other podcasts. As we mentioned, Star Guys, our Stargirl podcast, is currently running with 2 episodes a week. One on Monday as a recap episode, Tuesday nights as a bonus episode for the CW airing. So please do check that out. Also, you can subscribe and listen on iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and more. At Comic Book Live to follow us socially. And that's it. We'll see you next week. We'll have some great guests next week. I forgot to mark down who they are, but I know they're amazing. So hopefully we'll see how normal things are next week, but we should be rolling as normal next week. And again, thank you for hanging out. You all are awesome.
You're awesome. Stay safe out there. Be smart. Get out there. We'll see you soon. They sit on crappy couches and they let the secrets leak. And occasionally they let that special guest speak. So
grab your grip and learn. Don't be late for a
girlfriend.
Girlfriends can barely tolerate it. Coming back round. Coming back round. Coming back round. Coming back round.
I gotta do another podcast, babe. What?